Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. While you're turning there, I want to mention that in the first 10 years of the early church and the 10 years after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, the gospel primarily went out to Jews. Jesus was a Jew. The early church leaders were Jews. Christianity had grown out of Judaism. And so the focus during those 10 years after Jesus' ascension was bringing the gospel to the Jews. But this passage today in Acts 10 marks a turning point in which the gospel is now going to go to the Gentiles and indeed to all the nations of the earth. So please stand with me and let's see how God calls us to participate in evangelizing the nations in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 34. Acts 10, 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we want to participate in what you are doing. Please show us this morning how we might participate in your evangelization of the world, and then please give us the power to do it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. In the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia, few people thought that Russian figure skater Adelina Sotnikova would win the gold medal. The heavy favorite to do so was the reigning champ Yuna Kim from South Korea. And yet, the Russian Sotnikova won the gold medal, even though she had some flaws in her program. She received the highest scores she had ever received in an international competition. And the world and the TV viewing audience was actually shocked afterwards, though, because after it was announced that she had won the gold medal, Sotnikova skated off the ice and into the arms of one of the two Russian judges of the competition. And it turns out that this particular judge was married to one of the highest-ranking officials in the Russian Skating Federation. So there was a huge worldwide outcry. An investigation was called for. One of the American skaters who was watching said, "Our jaws dropped." But at the same time, none of us are strangers to how skating works. You either deal with that or you don't. The problem is that the national skating federations from each country appoint their own judges to the international competition. There's no international body that selects the judges. And the judges are allowed to score their own athletes when they're competing. So there's an inherent partiality. Of course, a judge from a particular country is going to want to score his or her athlete a little bit higher than the other judges might do. And this has been studied, and it frequently did happen that judges from one's own country would give a higher score than the other scores from the other countries. And so there's inherent partiality. It's a conflict of interest, but the rules don't forbid it. And which of us wouldn't be partial if we were judging a family member or a classmate or somebody in our own town or church or our own country in a competition? I remember one time I was judging a public speaking competition of elementary school students, and my daughter ended up winning the competition for her age group, and I was really conflicted. I mean, I was happy she won, but I felt like I should have recused myself from the competition because certainly fatherly bias might have influenced me, given her a higher score. And so if I ever did it again, and my own kids were in it, I would not be one of the judges. But it's natural that we'd be partial to people from our own family, our own town, our own country, our own school. But today's passage shows us that God shows no partiality with respect to country of origin. God accepts all people who trust in Jesus from any country. And because God shows no partiality, we must share the gospel with people from every nation. So let's find out how to do it. Let's first answer several questions from Acts chapter 10. First of all, for whom is the gospel given? First of all, for Jews. Look at verse 36 of Acts 10. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. So the gospel means good news. The biblical gospel is the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, God chose Israel to be his special people. And it began all the way back in Genesis 12 when God called Abram. And God said, Abram, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And you're going to have a family that prospers and grows and has a good reputation and is secure. And Abram's family later ended up becoming the nation of Israel. But the question we want to answer today is, for what purpose did God choose Abram's family? For what purpose did God choose Israel? And the answer is to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 describes the call of Abram. Now the Lord had said to Abram, go from your house and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God called Israel to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. God called the nation of Israel to display who he was, to display who God was to the nations, so that all would come to know and worship the one true God. So the salvation of the nations was always God's plan, beginning with the nation of Israel, beginning with the Jewish people. So the gospel is for Jews, but the gospel is also for Gentiles. Look at verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So this passage is taken from a sermon that Peter gave to the household of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. He was an officer in the Roman army. Therefore, he was a Gentile, not a Jew. A Gentile is someone who's not a Jew. He was a devout man who feared God, but he had not yet learned about Jesus. So God had sent an angel to appear to Cornelius in a vision with instructions to send men to the city of Joppa to locate Peter and to bring Peter back to Cornelius' house in Caesarea. So as the men were traveling to get Peter, Peter himself received a vision from God telling him to receive these men and go with him when they arrive. So it's remarkable here that the Roman centurion, first of all, invited a Jew, a Jewish man, into his household. It's even more remarkable that Peter went because Jews at that time didn't associate with Gentiles. But God told them both to get together, and so they both obeyed. And God-fearing Cornelius gathered his household together to eagerly listen to what Peter had to say. And now Peter, the Bible says, opens his mouth. When the Bible says that somebody opens their mouth, it means they're about to say something important. And then verse 34, Peter says, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So God shows no partiality with regard to race or nationality. Peter's point is that Cornelius does not need to become a Jew in order to be acceptable to God. The gospel is for Jews and Gentiles. The gospel is for people from every nation. Look ahead at verse 43. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So to receive forgiveness of sins, Jews and Gentiles alike must believe in Jesus. The Old Testament prophets foresaw that the coming Messiah was going to save people from their sins. Isaiah 53:5 says, looking ahead to the Messiah, who we would find out is Jesus, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the prophets foresaw a coming Redeemer who would save the people from their sins. The prophets also foresaw that salvation would extend beyond Israel to all the nations. There's an amazing passage in Isaiah chapter 49 in which we get to listen in as God tells his servant, the coming Messiah, Jesus, before he's even born. We hear a heavenly conversation where God is saying through the prophet Isaiah to the coming Messiah in Isaiah 49:6, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel." So God's saying to the Messiah, it's too small of a job for you just to save the people of Israel. Then he goes on in Isaiah 49:6, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." So even the prophets foresaw that the coming Redeemer would save not only the people of Israel, but would save people to the ends of the earth. So God's salvation goes to the ends of the earth. The gospel is for people from every nation, everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus. Verse 36 of our passage says, "Jesus is Lord of all." So, which means that Jesus is judge of all people, and Jesus is Savior of all who believe from every nation. The gospel's for people from every nation. God shows no partiality. I heard about a young man who had applied for a job with a Chicago bank. The man was from Boston, and the bank asked for a letter of reference from a place he had worked for in Boston. So he contacted a Boston investing firm where he had worked previously, and the investment firm was happy to write a letter of recommendation back to the bank in Chicago. And they said, "This young man's father is a Cabot. His mother is a Lowell. If you go further back in their family line, they're part of the Saltonstall family and the Peabody family. If you go further back, he descends from some of the finest families in all of Boston. And so we unreservedly recommend him to you." And they sent the letter back to the Chicago bank. And the bank, a few days later, wrote back to the Boston firm, and they said, "Your letter of recommendation is completely inadequate. We're not considering hiring this young man for breeding purposes. We want him to go to work." And it's the same with salvation. It's definitely an advantage to grow up in a Christian family and to have Jesus taught to you as you're growing up. Definite advantage. But God accepts people from every family and every race and every nation who trusts in Jesus. Salvation is people from every family, race, and nation, all who will believe in Jesus. So the answer to our first question we've asked this morning, for whom is the gospel given? The answer is that it's given to people from every nation. And our second question is, what is the good news of the gospel? What does that mean? Well, the gospel, first of all, is the good news about Jesus' life. Verse 37 says, "You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem." So filled with the Holy Spirit and power, Jesus, during his 3 years of public ministry, went about doing good and healing many people. And so the gospel is the good news about Jesus' life. It's also the good news about Jesus' death. Continuing in verse 39. "They put him to death by hanging him on a tree." So the tree here refers to the wooden cross upon which Jesus died. And calling it a tree here by Peter points back to the Old Testament. A man hanged by a tree in the Old Testament is said to be cursed by God. Deuteronomy 21:22 says, "And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God." So that Jesus was cursed by God means that he took upon himself the penalty for our sins. He suffered the curse that we deserve so that we wouldn't have to receive it. The innocent Jesus received the death penalty in our place. And Jesus' death gives us peace. Looking at verse 36 again. "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ." So Jesus' death gives us peace with God. We have a reconciled relationship with God. But also God appoints us as ambassadors to take the message to the world to tell other people that they can have peace with God through faith in Jesus. So the gospel is the good news about Jesus' life and death and also about his resurrection. Verse 40. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So Jesus not only rose from the dead, but he proved that he rose from the dead by eating and drinking with certain selected witnesses. So the gospel is the good news about Jesus' life, about his death and resurrection. And we must respond to the good news. We must believe in Jesus ourselves. Look at verse 43 again. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So the only way to have forgiveness of sins and eternal life is through faith in Jesus. Peter said in Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So regardless of race or ethnicity or country of origin, to have forgiveness of sins and an eternal relationship with God, we must believe in Jesus. There's no other way. And not only must we believe in Jesus, we must tell others to believe in Jesus. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. So we cannot keep the good news to ourselves. We must tell others. And this is hard to do, I know, because of fear of rejection. We must pray for God to open doors and then help us to walk through them. So when you get up in the morning, when you get up tomorrow morning, as part of your morning prayer, say, Father, please show me an open door to the gospel, an open door with somebody with whom I might be able to have a conversation about Jesus. And then, having prayed for open doors, expect God to provide one and watch for open doors. Watch for somebody that seems willing to have a conversation with you. And then, if they're willing to have a conversation, walk through the open doors and go as far as you can. A really good starting question is to say to anybody, do you have any spiritual beliefs? Most people have some kind of spiritual beliefs, and many people will answer that question, and then just see where it leads. Successful witnessing is telling people about Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, and then trusting God for the results. So successful witnessing is telling people about Jesus and trusting God for the results. We can't save anybody. Only God can change somebody's heart, but we can be his instrument to share the good news and then pray that he will change people's hearts that we share it with. But you'll be a success even by sharing it. So the good news of the gospel is of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, and that people from every nation can have peace with God through faith in Jesus. In 2013, Grace's elder session spent really the whole year working on our comprehensive calling, on what is the unique calling God has for this church in this location, in this point in time, with this history and these leaders and these people. And out of that came a vision statement for our church, which says, God's unlimited grace inspiring all generations and peoples to follow Christ. And so the peoples here, the plural peoples, refers to people groups, the different people groups of the world. And so what we want, or what we're trying to do at Grace, is to create a taste of heaven. Because in heaven, people from every tribe and every language and every nation are going to be gathered together around the throne, worshiping God the Father, worshiping the Lamb, worshiping the Holy Spirit. And we want to create a small taste of heaven here by being a very welcoming church to people from different nations. Now, this is an aspirational vision. Obviously, we have a long way to go, but certainly we're doing little things to try to help. And so in 2017, we started our English as a Second Language ministries that started by Mike and Kathy Uno and still led by them with 40 volunteer teachers. We've had 40 different countries represented in our Tuesday morning and Wednesday evening ESL classes, all levels. And the point of ESL is to help people to learn English, but also to establish friendships with each other and help them to establish friendship with their fellow students and with our teachers, and then help people to believe in Jesus. And we have had several people believe in Jesus through our English as a Second Language ministry. We also, our international Sunday school class is going to resume on October 16th in two Sundays. Mike Una will teach that. And that's for people from other countries who want to learn the basics of Christianity. It's a foundations in Christianity class for people from other countries. And so that's October 16th. We translate our sermon outlines into several different languages. And then we have our Global Impact Celebration coming up this coming weekend. We have 70 missionary families that we support in 20 different countries, and including the United States. And we want to partner with our missionary families who are on the front lines making disciples of Jesus. We want to participate with them, and I'll talk more about that in just a moment. Why is global missions so important to us at Grace? It's because God is not partial to Americans. God has followers in every country. God is raising up people in every country who are going to believe in Jesus. We have the opportunity to participate in God calling people to himself, changing their hearts, and making them Christians. What a great privilege to participate in that great work that God is doing across the world. So Peter's answered two questions so far. For whom is the gospel given, is the first question. The answer is for people in every nation. The second is, what is the good news of the gospel? It's that people from every nation can have peace with God through faith in Jesus. Now we come to our third question. What is the result of people from every nation believing in Jesus? The result is that worldwide Christians are united with each other in Christ. The benefits of salvation cross ethnic lines. Look at verse 44. We're going to go a little further now than what I read earlier. So verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now this is remarkable. I keep saying things are remarkable. The next thing I say is going to be astonishing. But this is remarkably astonishing because this is like a second Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, we see the first Pentecost with Jews. This is the second Pentecost with Gentiles instead of Jews. At the first Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus' ascension, 50 days after his death, a bunch of Jews were gathered in a house. The Holy Spirit was poured out on them and they began speaking in tongues. Onlookers were amazed, and then Peter gave a sermon telling the Jews present to be baptized. Well, now in this passage, 10 years later, a bunch of Gentiles are gathered in a house. The Holy Spirit is poured out on them, and they begin speaking in tongues. Onlookers are amazed, and now Peter gives a sermon telling the Gentiles to be baptized. So salvation has now come to the Gentiles, and the benefits of the salvation, including receiving the Holy Spirit, cross ethnic lines. And the fellowship of believers crosses ethnic lines. Verse 48, the last part of the verse. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is incredible. The Gentile Cornelius was inviting the Jewish leader, Peter, into his home. He'd already invited him into his home. Now he's inviting him to stay and fellowship for some days. Peter is lodging and eating with Gentiles. The gospel has crossed ethnic lines. And not just for Peter and Cornelius and Cornelius' household, but for all who believe in Jesus across the globe. We all are united by the Holy Spirit, worldwide Christians, in fellowship. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Because we are united with believers around the world, we can express solidarity with those believers who are suffering around the world by praying for them, by providing financial help, physical help, by sending missionaries, by going ourselves as missionaries. And we pray as we do this that God will save people from every nation, that God will give people the gifts of repentance and faith, even as he did to Cornelius and his household. The Global Impact Celebration, October 7th through 9th, this coming weekend. Two things I'd like to ask you to do in advance. First is register. It's a little bit different format this year. The main events are a Friday evening. These are all in an insert in your bulletin, so be sure and pull out the insert in your bulletin. These are listed. On Friday evening, we're going to have a catered dinner, a concurrent kids conference. Dr. Harry Reeder will be our keynote speaker, and we're going to have special music from India. On Saturday morning, we have a potluck brunch for all ages. We're going to hear from all of our missionaries who are in town. On Saturday evening, missionaries are going to be in homes with small groups and Sunday schools. On Sunday morning, we'll have our regular two worship services, a flag processional, missionary testimonies, special music, and Dr. Reeder will be speaking. And then we'll have missionaries farmed out to our different Sunday schools at 9:45. On Sunday afternoon, we're going to have a pizza lunch for all ages in the gym. We want you to come to that. On Sunday evening, there's going to be an event for youth and college and young adults with Dr. Reeder helping to lead it and Noah and Jill Ellenwood for youth, college, and young adults on Sunday evening. So we want you to pre-register to help us with our planning with the numbers. Glory Christian, our missions coordinator, is in the atrium. She'll be there after the service. You can stop by. She'll register you today for the conference. You can register on our line. The insert tells you how to register. It's real easy. So register in advance. The second thing I'd like to ask you to do before the conference is to complete the pledge card, which is another insert in your bulletin, and just bring it back with you next week. So take the pledge card home. Pray about it. Pray how you might give toward missions beyond your regular giving to the church. How you might pray using the prayer guide you'll receive next week. You might consider going on a short-term trip, or you might consider long-term missionary service. So pray about it this week. Bring the card back next week. We'll also have cards in the insert. So we're going to take up the offering after the sermon, at the end of the service next week, and you can drop your pledge card in at that time. So many of Grace's missionaries were regular people just like you and me sitting out here when they were called onto the mission field. So be open-minded about this. Is God prompting you to consider missionary service? Pray about it. Seek counsel on it from people that know you well. The gospel is for all ages, and missionaries are needed to take the gospel for all nations, and missionaries are needed to take the gospel to all nations. God has people like Cornelius in every country. And so we have the privilege of going to these countries and leading people to faith in Jesus that God is raising up there to believe in him. So we'll collect those cards next week. God's salvation and the fellowship of believers extend beyond ethnic lines. Worldwide believers are united with each other in Christ. We can experience this union by praying for and supporting our global missionaries, even considering becoming one. But ask yourself this. Is God calling me right now to participate in some way in global missions? Consider that. Let's pray. Gracious Father, you have people in every nation that you're calling to yourself, and what a privilege it is for us to participate in that calling, either by sending or going. So, Father, please save many people in every country and people group of the world. Please enable many people by your power to believe in Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.